Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
We're back. It's the Luke and Pete Show. I've got burn on my finger. I don't like it. I don't like it. It's a Thursday. Luke, how the devil are you? You're wearing a lovely jumper. We're in the same studio as each other.
Yeah, I'm bloody good, thanks. Mm. You didn't comment on my jumper before.
I didn't, no. I didn't like it back then. It's I've grown on it.
So
no,
this jump,
it's grown on me.
Hello, everyone. It's nice to speak to you on this probably disgustingly damp Thursday.
It's horrible,
yeah, it is, isn't it? You've just got to get through it, mate. Mm. This jumper is a good jumper. I'm pleased you noticed it. I like it. The problem I have with it, which is a problem with a lot of the jumpers I wear, it's wool. So it's difficult to wash.
What are your techniques? What are your techniques?
My technique usually is to put it in the washing machine because I've forgotten. Because it's so small that my wife gets a free jumper.
Dude, that's good that they can be reused.
It's not good.
Stretched out. That's
She's got about 400 of them and I've got none now. So what you have to do is you have to either hand wash it.
Oh, boring.
Or I believe you might even have to have it dry cleaned.
Boring. Two boring solutions. The clothes should not exist that do that.
It's like in Curb Your Enthusiasm when he gets on the high horse about the unwritten rule of the dry cleaners.
What's the unwritten rule of the dry
cleaners? Sometimes they lose something and it goes to someone else, but sometimes you get something. And he's like, I never get anything. I always get my stuff lost. I never get anything back. But yeah, so thank you very much. You are wearing a very nice tweed jacket today. Is that tweed or houndstooth?
I think it's houndstooth design. Well, I think it might actually be wool, to be honest. But yeah, it's been through the ringer, this one. So it's only got one inside pocket, which I find quite upsetting.
Yeah.
Where do I keep my keys?
No, God, you want... I've found it, as I've got older, more and more I've found the existence of a large set of keys annoying.
My keys have only gotten bigger over the past few months with my scooter and stuff.
Oh yeah, how's the scooter going?
Fine, it's cold today, I should have worn my gloves.
Did you ride it in today?
I did ride it in today. Well, I rode it to the station and then got on the train.
How long would it take you?
It wouldn't take me about an hour and a half, because I can't go on any motorways.
You should definitely do that.
Yeah, have a crack, yeah.
You should definitely
I'll wait till
that.
It gets a bit warmer.
It's a bit safer though, because you wouldn't necessarily come into contact with anyone else.
Good point, yeah.
So safer for them. So you rode, how long does it take you to ride to the station?
About 2 minutes.
Have you got a good lock for it?
I couldn't lock it at one point because the key was not working and I could not figure it out for love nor money. So I just kind of like positioned it as if it was locked.
Right.
So some enterprising scooter thief could have been could have had a free scooter. I was talking about this in the Rumble. What happened to the scooter gangs?
Yeah.
The
scooter gangs? I saw one over Christmas. I sent you a video of them.
What? Like I said, no, but like the scooter gangs who would steal mobile phones. Remember?
Oh, you still
be
get
up
them.
And down like
COVID,
yeah, kind of Bedford, kind of
COVID, probably.
Right, okay.
The ones I respect Bedford. The most are the ones that just plough themselves into shop windows and just grab all the watches.
Is that scooter? Are those scooters?
Yeah.
Though? Oh, really? Wow.
Sometimes I do that. Yeah.
That's brave, isn't it?
It's mad. But I think COVID's put a stop to it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But I was going to say to you, where's your helmet? You put it in the little.
Put it in the front of the seat, mate. Sits under the seat. Oh, it's the Wang E125T.
Yeah.
It really is the ride of a generation.
So that few minutes
not
ride
my words.
From your house to the station, that's a good part of the day for you. Is it fun?
It's quite fun. Yeah, I love it. I love it. I'm a real speed demon, mate.
I'm thinking about getting one.
Yeah, you're getting excited.
I am a bit,
getting
yeah.
excited. May I recommend one of those? I saw like a picture of like an 80s scooter. And do you remember when like in the 80s, all of the scooter lights would be square?
Yeah.
And they'd be like, they were like horrible, like Yamaha Japanese concoctions, and they looked so 80s. They did look good.
So the
you kind of fancy that.
The absolute pinup of the genre.
Right.
What? So when I was 16, 17, I had a Peugeot moped.
Right.
which became quite fashionable at the time. Mm. And I think what happened was, this is the measure of the person I was when I was that age. I think my granddad might have given me a bit of money for my education.
For your education?
I think he said, oh, this is when you go to university.
Oh, right. Okay.
But I decided, only a small amount. We're talking about probably 1,500 quid maybe.
Right, okay. But I mean, to be honest, if I know you, and I think you know you, certainly.
I hope so.
I mean, that would have been pissed up the wall if you're of university. Well, no. So this is a good, a good investment.
But the thing was, I then did so badly in my A-levels,
right.
It was no longer an option.
Ah.
So I had this money. Mm. And I said to my granddad, well, look, I've got a job now. Mm. It'd be really cool if I could. I mean, I'm not quite old enough or I haven't passed my test to get a car. Mm. Could I spend it on a scooter instead?
Yeah.
And to be fair to him, he was like, yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
And so I got one. Anyway, the point being, I got one and I was in a little moped scooter gang with my pals, right? And we three of us had one. Mm. And my friend Mark Dunford, who I've talked to you about before, right. He's come in here before. He does a load of newspaper coverage for the Ramblers.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
He had a Honda Vision.
Honda Vision?
And this is about 1996. Ooh. And it was quite old then. So that might have even been a late 80s Honda Vision.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. Honda Vision.
Honda Vision 1992 or something.
1990s. There we go. That sort of thing. Beautiful. Yeah.
Exactly.
Lovely,
like that.
Square.
And it was just so cool.
Lights.
Yeah, it was really cool. But the problem was his could only go about 32 miles an hour. And mine could go about 38.
Right.
So I used to get a little bit frustrated.
Why do you need to go that fast? You were young and free back then.
38 miles an hour.
Didn't care about
fast,
the danger.
It's not that
a Honda Vision 50, white. Beautiful.
Yeah.
This has now become a scooter podcast.
Yeah.
Where we talk about scooters from the.
Put some sound effects on it.
Natalie, put some vroom vroom. But some vroom, 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 vroom. It cannot be a motorbike. It has to be a Honda. It has to be a Honda Vision.
Yeah.
It's good from the 90s.
But I saw when I was in town on Boxing Day, I saw a little scooter gang, as in the gang who like ride around Vespas and just with their parkas on, not committing
right.
crimes.
Okay.
And I sent you a video of it.
Yes. Yeah, you did, yeah.
I thought you might have been involved, but sadly you were not.
I don't think they allow L plates, and you got to go for your proper test.
No. And I'll tell you what would be a really cool... So, you know, I said to you before that on Boxing Day, I came into the town, into London, and there was no one around, and it was really fun. I went to Richmond Park on Sunday.
Yeah.
And it was busy, because obviously it's one of the only things that people can actually do recreationally now. But we kept our social distancing. It was fine. We had a nice walk. But have you been to Richmond Park?
I used to walk across it a lot when I'd get off at the wrong station when I had to get to Gunnersbury, because that line's a bit of a shit show.
I mean, that is a walk.
I used to go like Sion Lane and kind of like stroll back.
No, I think you're thinking of Osterley Park.
I remember sort of walking like certain parts. Yeah, I've walked through Richmond Park.
Richmond Park,
very pretty.
It's about... probably be about 3.5 miles long.
Oh yeah, it's about two tube stations worth of
right. Anyway, distance. I was just going to say, if you could have that whole park to yourself, and maybe a scrambler mode,
yes.
That'd be amazing.
Yes, like absolutely tearing it up. Yeah, I'd want four wheels. I think just to handle all of the. I want to handle all of the lumps and bumps. But yeah,
quads are one of those things that are like a lot more. They seem to be a lot more dangerous than you'd think.
They seem to flip quite a lot.
Am I thinking just because of Rick Mayall fell off one and almost died?
He did, yeah.
Didn't Ozzy Osbourne as well?
Didn't Mike Carroll, the lottery lout?
Did he?
Didn't he? Wasn't he big into that sort of thing?
So I think straight off the top of our head...
And the Hardy Boys.
Is it not weird that straight off the top of our heads we can think of three famous people who've hurt themselves on quads? Because you never see quads.
No, exactly.
So they must be dangerous. They seem to be more dangerous than horses, which is mad.
Well, Pilot Neil might pipe up, but there was something like 47% of the flights took off last year, and yet there were more deaths. Thanks
How
to
come?
I think the Pakistani jet that went down, and there was another one as well that went down. Okay. It was the one shot down by the Iranians, wasn't it? Remember?
Oh man, that feels like it was about 10 years
ago.
Yeah,
that was January, I think it was. So that absolutely kind of buoyed those figures. Just don't shoot down passenger jet guys, guys.
That was frightening. When that one happened over Ukraine, that was frightening. Mm. I mean, it's all any kind of plane crash is frightening anyway. And I think the reason for that. And yeah, Pilot Neil or Pilot Rob or Pilot whoever can get in touch, because we've got a burgeoning and very close-knit pilot community listening
pilot
to
the lights.
Show.
Our pilot lights.
But Peter, The idea of a plane crash is frightening anyway, but let me just tell you something now. You know when someone's scared of flying, and I know a phobia is something different because phobia is completely psychological and you probably need some kind of treatment for that, because that's like when it crosses over into something medical, right? If you're sort of medium frightened of flying and someone will always say to you, you know, it's the safest way to travel or whatever, you're much more likely to crash your car than you are to crash a plane. But when you're going to be in a plane crash, I mean, the writing is on the wall, right? If you're going to be in a car crash, it doesn't seem as scary because you think, rightly or wrongly, that you're probably going to walk away.
Yeah.
Because you're on the ground.
Yeah, because that's the big factor in it.
Yeah. And
if you find yourself in the air in a car, you're like, yeah, this could go badly.
And I've asked this before, and you've never answered it satisfactorily.
What?
Why doesn't everyone just have a parachute under their seat?
because you probably got limited time to get out of the plane. What if you can't get off the back of the plane? Because if you get off the front of the plane, you probably end up in the engine. Like, there's a lot of like physical.
But the landing speed of a 747, which is massive, is only about 170 miles an hour. It's not that fast. Mm. So if you brought them right down to landing speed, and everyone could just jump out with a parachute.
Yeah, but if you would have to jump out behind the engines. Yeah, what if you've got engines over the top bit of the
747 doesn't have that, does it?
No, would you not get burned up by the engines? Would you like the engines are too powerful? Would you not like get like heat problems?
I'm just saying
smoke inhalation. You've got lack of oxygen. You've got all this stuff that you've got to factor. And your best bet
because
he's
got to bring the plane lower.
I think maybe jumping out of that a plane at that speed might be like with that size of a plane might be problematic. I don't know. I don't know. But
what I'm saying is, right, and I haven't thought this through. But what I'm saying is,
you couldn't get the door open at height, surely?
No. Well, let me put it another way.
If the pilot's got enough control to take it down to so everyone get off.
Yeah.
It got enough time. He's probably not got enough time to empty the plane before he crashes.
Like on the bus,
and what about him?
Like on the bus, you should better press a button. So I want to get off now. But what I'm saying is plane travel is so prevalent now. Should they not have solved this problem?
What do you mean? It's safer for the pilot to get. I think statistically it would be safer for the pilot. So many variables of people, A, not being able to run a parachute. B, like everyone would die compared to let's have the pilot land it.
No, because people die in plane crashes. It's as simple as that, isn't it?
Right.
If a guy can land a plane, then he can land a plane. It's no problem.
Right.
I'm talking about the writings on the wall stuff. A writing on the wall situation.
Right.
Right? Which I think we all know what I'm talking about. I don't want to be too morose at the start of the year. But
9/11?
No.
Right.
No. Where's that come from?
Well, I'm trying to think of the writing of the wall plane incidents.
Well, I'm just saying, if a plane comes down, you're dead.
Not necessarily, though. People have, like, whole fuselage have been torn to bits and they've still landed the plane.
Yeah.
And I watched this guy called Mentor Pilot. Mentor Pilot. He's this kind of, he's got this beautiful kind of sort of Swiss accent, I think. And he runs through all of these plane crashes and how good the pilots were to get it down, you know. What the rules and regulations are, you know, pertaining to landing a plane in that condition and how these people managed to rescue it and stuff. And I was watching one, Antonov, the engine failure and a runway excursion. It went too far and knocked down a few fences and stuff. And he goes through all of what the pilots did wrong, what the pilots did right, and how they were amazing to land it. But he's got two little dogs as well, which just makes it better. So the dogs are just always.
What
just
and can he normally go for? What are his credentials?
He's a pilot.
And can he normally interpret how things are going and stuff?
Well, yeah, because there's obviously a report, and it's all public, isn't it? In many cases,
yeah.
Unless you're working under the Iron Curtain and stuff, like they're usually pretty public about what's went on. The data that they're given after the pilot, after the plane goes down and stuff, so it's all pretty out there in most cases. It's fascinating.
It
fascinating.
Is. I'm going to change the subject ever so slightly and say that I'm really sad that MF Doom died.
Yes.
Sad start to the year. That
it's someone that you've talked about with great in glowing terms for a very long time, Luke. I can't pretend to know much of his music, but he certainly touched you.
Well, it came out on New Year's Eve. That he had died a couple of months before.
That's amazing.
Which is quite
But I think that's quite magical for a character who kind of, you know, you didn't really know what he looked like in the main.
No.
It was a bit Kiss with makeup kind of thing. And they managed to sort of keep it under wraps for that length of time.
He was a really interesting character and his music was fascinating. I wouldn't profess to be an expert or anything like that, but the music of his I've heard I really like. He's an amazing rapper and artist and...
He's just a rapper's rapper, wasn't he?
Just like, yeah, just like a fascinating character. Yeah, because I went to see him live with Andy Brassel, right? And it was a mad experience because the sound
or a man
was
in Andy Brassel's mask.
Could have been. But it was a mad experience because the music, the sound quality was just terrible. Mm. But it was just amazing to see him in the flesh. And you could tell the reverence that people in the audience had. It was at Brixton Academy. So yeah. It was like a big show. The reverence that people held him in just by being present in front of him, because he was known as this like that legendary rapper, basically, as you said, like your favorite rapper. Danny Kelly, who's a friend of mine and I've worked with him before, obviously, as well, he said on Twitter, 2020 saves another hammer blow for the very last knocking, because of course it broke on New Year's Eve. My musical hero, MF Doom, has died at 49, the family have announced. The finest rapper ever, and I believe one of the great manipulators of the English language, born in London, a gift to the world. And it's a really, the reason I read that tweet out is because Danny said that to me before. Danny's someone who's got, I think he owns, I mean, he wouldn't be as bold to say this himself, but I think he's got one of the largest record collections in the UK.
Yeah.
And he's got this massive barn that he's built to host all these records.
Mm.
And he's got every single MF Doom record that's ever been released.
Mm.
And I never, ever thought Danny would be like a big MF Doom fan. Cause he's not really in like the, cause like, you know, he just didn't seem like he'd be in the Venn diagram. But he said to me once, oh yeah, look, I just think he's the way he manipulates the English language. I've never heard anyone do it like that before. Mm. So if you get a chance, I completely agree. Give it a listen. Get a listen to the Mad Villain album, or listen to Food, which is really good, and pay a little tribute to one of the great rappers, one of the cleverest rappers around, who sadly passed away only 49 years old. It was announced on New Year's Eve. Give it a go. He always wore a mask. That's not the main thing about him, but it is quite a recognisable aspect of it, I suppose. And he said that the reason he wore the mask always is because he was involved in hip hop music from a very, very young age, from the late 80s.
Yeah.
And he said he saw hip hop music moving from, in his opinion, being about finding the best beats, rapping, being the best rapper, to about image and about commercial appeal and that kind of stuff, and about people coming in and turning a commercial dollar out of what it was and being all about image. And he said, the only way I can get people to work out how good a rapper I am is to completely take my image away.
Mm.
So he's put a mask on. So I've never seen in public without a mask on. I just think that's a really fascinating idea.
Yeah.
And so anyway, for a number of different reasons, he's a fascinating guy. Well worth a listen if you get a chance, which you would be able to because he's on Spotify and you could do it for free. But I would recommend you support his estate as well by a purchase or two. Legendary character.
I like that he could never afford remote control cars when he was a kid, so as he grew up, he and made a bit of money, he would just buy the biggest collection of like remote control cars.
That appeals to you,
that
right?
That appeals to me
because that's the kind of thing you do.
Not you know, don't know his music, but oh, I can appreciate that sentiment.
Well, often he was seen riding his moped to Berkhamsted Station as well. So it's a big crossover there. Anyway, should we have a little break?
Yeah,
and then
right.
When we come back, we'll do some emails and chat some more.
All right then.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
and Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This week on Stakhanov.
Join the Self-Care Club as they trial out all those January health kicks. Listen as they put themselves to the test with Couch to 5K, Dry January and loads more.
I think that evening was probably the closest you and I have ever come to having a bit of a Barney. Which we didn't really have, but we nearly had one. It could have tipped into Bruges.
And why not check out the latest episode of Between the Lines with Melissa Reddy, where Roberto Martinez reflects on the highs and lows of his managerial career and the lessons he's drawn from 14 years at the top of the game.
When you're a young coach, you almost feel that you want to answer every doubt or every question mark that there is surrounding your position and out there. And then the older that you get, you understand that you cannot stop that. It's impossible. You need to affect the headlines of tomorrow. And that's the real power of working in football and being the manager.
All that and a whole lot more at Stakhanov.
And we're back with Luca Beach Show on a Thursday. Oh, I've got an eyelash out of place. It's stabbing me in the cortex, so to speak. Stabbing me in the eye.
Cornea. What is the cortex?
You can have a cortex of an eye, couldn't you?
Can you? I don't know. No idea.
I thought cortex was just the middle.
Welcome back to the Luke and Pete Show, as Peter has just said. Did you see there's a 10-year-old weightlifter planning to open her own gym?
It's going to kick your ass. That's right.
People shouldn't be doing that at 10.
It's a bit fun. It's a bit Cristiano Ronaldo's son, isn't it? Doing those crunches. Did you see over the weekend there was that Bean Dad that everyone was talking about?
So I saw this trending, but I didn't bother investigating.
It's actually
further.
Quite hard to figure out what the fuck everyone's talking about.
Yeah.
Dickhead on Twitter, dad, he's sat in the house and his kid says, I'm hungry, dad, I'm hungry. He's like, make some food then. And she goes, oh, I can't, I don't know what do I eat? And he goes, beans. And she grabs a can of beans. And it hasn't got one of those ring pull things on the top. So she's like, I don't know how to open this.
Right.
And he's like, oh, this can be a learning experience for my child. And for the next 6 hours, him and his hungry child, let's face it.
How old is the child?
She's 9.
Right.
He is forcing her to figure out, without help, how to use a bottle opener, a can opener.
What, and filming it and putting it on the internet?
Not filming it, but literally describing in excruciating detail why, how this has come about and how she's systematically going about opening this can and stuff.
Right.
And he's sort of like, oh, she doesn't know how to use this can opener because I've never taught her. And he's missing the fundamentals here. His child is hungry.
Yeah.
And he refuses to feed her because he thinks this is a learning experience, but he's never taught her how to use a fucking can opener.
Give her a bean a minute until she figures it out.
But
everyone wins, then, don't they?
People are kind of sort of extrapolating this and sort of going, this is what conservative America is. Like, they've not given anybody any chance in life, but they're sort of going, you do it on your own, figure it out yourself, and we won't help you. So all of the Mitch McConnells in this world are your bean dad, effectively. They're going, just
oh, okay. So, people are saying
it's a nice little allegory for life. It's a metaphor for life.
How do you feel about it?
I think he's a bellend. And the worst thing about it, and the worst thing about it is,
bellend,
it kind of reminds me of my dad watching me try to solder a guitar lead together and him laughing at how bad I was at soldering, even though he'd never taught me how to fucking solder the bellend. So yeah. Being Dad Donaldson, yeah. Very much he is part of that. But the worst thing was that he started the tweet by going, my kid's shouting that she's hungry while I'm trying to do a jigsaw.
Oh my God.
This guy's such a dick. Oh God. So he obviously, liberal America are kind of like rounded on this idiot and conservative America have rounded on this idiot.
So the liberals,
liberals are sort of saying,
liberal
pinkers
are just crying,
beanie tears about it. And,
yeah.
and conservative America going, well, she should learn how to use a can opener.
So, I mean, I'm finding out about this for the first time.
Mm.
And it's making me sad, to be honest, that this has not only happened.
Give the kids some beans, accessible beans.
Because I think...
Why are we even using tin cans anymore?
Well, this is the thing.
Can we not have like a reopen and reclosable plastic kind of like cardboardy, like waxed cardboard kind of thing for beans?
If you buy a multi-pack of beans...
Mm. Why is there four cans of beans in there?
You don't get the ring pull ones.
Do you not?
I think that might be how they save some money.
What?
Yeah.
What?
But if you buy a single one... So I only buy the small cans, single.
Oh, little babas.
Yeah, because that's all I need, really.
Do you not have those little plastic ones that are in a yoghurt pot?
No, because they're more expensive for no reason.
Well, they're easier to open, aren't they?
No, but it's not difficult to open the ring pull ones. Would it be acceptable for the dad to say to his kid, all right, you're hungry, cool.
Let's make something.
I'm going to give you 15 minutes to try and work this out. And
yeah,
can't,
not 6 hours.
I'll show
six
you.
Hours, he said.
That's too long.
It's too long.
That is too long, isn't it? 6 hours is too long.
Yeah.
Because no 9-year-old is going to get better at something after 6 hours.
They're going to get worse, if anything. They're going to get tired.
Well, would you chuck her in the swimming pool and give her 6 hours to swim? No, you wouldn't.
I mean, we get emails like that about men in people's lives who've decided that their kid or their child needs to learn something the hard way. And we get this all the time, and it's... Oh.
It's not something I'm broadly in favor of.
Unless we get a good email about it.
I was saying that this 10-year-old person is starting their own gym. And I just think that's, first of all, at 10 years old, your body's probably still growing. Mm. You probably shouldn't be doing weights.
Your body's still making those gains. Getting
swole.
Look, if puberty is not puberty,
Mother
is getting swole.
Making the gains
it's getting
for
swole,
you.
Mate.
But Pete, I'm just saying, if I don't know this, but I presume... If you're under a certain age, you probably shouldn't be lifting weights, right?
I think the studies have suggested that it's fine, but
right.
I mean, I saw a kid running around a park quite recently and she had an iPod on and she was just dressed like a jogger and she was just jogging around the park.
Mm.
And I know you're broadly in favour of running around in that for no good reason, in my opinion.
Well, there is a good reason. I don't want to drop down dead.
And reason. But for her, she couldn't have been older than 8 or 9.
So
this
happens a lot in the posh area near where I live.
Right. Mums and dads and kids.
I'm going to be generous and say that because the last year or so has been tough for all kids playing organised sport, maybe they just want to keep fit and active by doing that. But they've seen adults do it and they've seen lots of... Because, you know, you see a lot of adverts for that type of stuff now, particularly on places like Instagram and keeping fit and like and all that type of stuff. But generally speaking, it happens in the posh area near where I live all the time. You'll see... Mm. And I'm not just saying this because they're speeding past me, but you see like 10, 11, 12-year-old kids out for actual runs, which was never a thing when we were a kid.
Defeating their PBs.
It's not worth it.
And we sound like old men, but there's something about kids jogging around, tearing it around the park, trying to, you know, on their Stravas.
Sorry, my smartwatch just telling me to take a break and get active.
Oh, right,
I'm a podcaster.
You're a podcast, mate.
I am active.
Let's have a look at your smartwatch.
It's a Garmin.
Ooh.
Laura Kirk recommended it to me.
Lovely. Is that turnable? That thing?
No, you get for it, go for it, like flick it out like that.
What games has it got?
It's got no games. It might have a game actually. I haven't checked.
Snake.
But my pulse rate is still very low for this high pressure environment.
Well,
so I'm pleased.
Have you heard?
Speaking of that, have you heard possibly apocryphal, but the story of when Apollo 11 was on the launch pad. I think it was Apollo 11. It could have been a different one. I want to say it was Apollo 11 and Buzz Aldrin. They're about to take off to become the first people on the moon.
Yeah.
Right. And on the launch pad, the world's watching them. And apparently Buzz Aldrin's pulse was the same as normal. It's just, I think they were tapping it going, is this broken? He's still running like a 55%, 55 beats a minute pulse.
He's probably saying when he punched that block.
Oh, that's listen, it's the best story ever. It's the best.
Did Buzz Aldrin die recently?
No, he's still alive. He's still with us at time of recording.
Yeah, pulse rate, exactly the same.
Yeah, I think Michael Collins died fairly recently and Neil Armstrong died before him, but right. Buzz Aldrin's still knocking about.
Lovely.
Still doing his thing. Still running his Get Your Ass to Mars campaign, which I love. Anyway, let's do an email or two.
All right, then.
I should probably get in touch. I should probably speak about the people who've got in touch, their battery brands. Mm-hmm. Noah Roth has put forward a Viridian Tactical Energy battery.
Viridian Tactical Energy sounds like the sort of quest you would do on Mass Effect or Star Wars or something, Star Trek.
I was going to say it sounded a bit like a erection aid.
Do it again?
Viridian Tactical
Energy. Viridian Tactical Energy, maybe, yeah. So you wouldn't, I saw a meme going around, or maybe just some kind of like nonsense about the some anti-vaxxers put it around, where there's been a study suggesting that if you inject it into the penis, it goes around the body quicker. I don't know why someone made it, I presume, to kind of scare people into not having the vaccine or not signing up for the vaccine because they're going to put it in your pee-pee.
People are making it up. They're just making things up. Anyway, that is a new player, isn't it?
I think it is, yeah. Viridian Tactical Energy sounds amazing.
New player, congratulations to you, Noah. Alex,
well done, mate.
At Indius Maximus, which is a good Twitter name,
yeah,
has submitted Sexy Battery, Lithium
Sexy
LR41. Sexy Battery is definitely a new one.
Yes, beautiful.
I don't know, I can't really work out the context of that, but it's definitely on there. Extra Endurance Alkaline Sexy Battery.
Why does it say strong flavour on that?
I don't know. It's like, it reminds me of when you made me taste that Switch game.
Oh, yeah. Sexy. Hang on. Sexy. Oh, God.
You're all right.
Had a banana. Oh, yes. Okay. Right. Fine. Oh, so it's Sexy Battery, specifically designed for marital aids.
Oh, okay, right.
So, yeah, it's
all... a special type of battery, though. Surely they're universal.
Well, I think some batteries are more useful for things that drive motors rather than things that would drive a Game Boy, for example. Because they're different kinds of power.
I had a hell of a time finding the battery for my car key.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
That was absolute murder. Anyway, that's also a new player entering the game, so congratulations to you as well. Alex, I would like to read this email, Peter, from an entrepreneurial kid. His name is Mike. He's now an adult, obviously. And he says, hello, gents, and a happy new year. On the subject of the kid who had his DJ equipment confiscated for having a toilet rave, it reminded me of my entrepreneurial pirating scheme from late 90s/early 2000s. Dawson, and this is right up your street. Mm-hmm. Every week, he says, I would rent the latest PlayStation game from Blockbuster. Or as Peter might know, in the Northeast, it was called Ritz.
Ritz, I forgot Ritz.
Was it called Ritz?
Yeah, I don't think it was actually called Ritz, but I think it was a competing company, maybe.
Yeah, Ritz was a cinema where I'm from. Anyway, I'd immediately make a master copy of the game and return it to the rental shop. How do you do that?
What do you mean, as in?
He said, I would rent a game from Blockbuster, latest game, PlayStation game, and make a master copy before returning it to the rental shop.
I mean, it wouldn't be a master copy, would it? You'd copy it on a CD.
Would you not get degradation of quality though?
Nah, one to one, man. Like that's why CDs were so good, because it's either a one or a zero, you know.
Oh, it's digital.
And so digital.
He said, I would then subsequently create mass copies of said game with the cover artwork and using an actual CD printer machine to sell at school. I used to make a small fortune for a 14/15-year-old most weeks. And I must say, they looked incredible for a teenager's bedroom job. How do you even do that?
Well, you would.
What hardware do you need?
Actually, with a PC, you just need a CD writer. So, you know, a 40 quid CD writer, 2-speed.
I'm stunned.
Keep the errors down.
But I'm stunned that the companies making these games wouldn't see that.
Well, you would have to have a chipped PlayStation or a slide tool or something, depending on what era of. There's always ways of getting around copyright.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't say that out loud. Anyway, Mike went on to say, one day we were having bag inspections at PE as one of the kids got caught smoking, and I was absolutely shitting my pants because I had 6 copies of Crash Bandicoot and 8 copies of Eminem's latest album to sell in the afternoon. Luckily, the bag inspection never reached as far as me, and I lived to pirate another day. I did, however, get banned from a very early days eBay for selling bootleg Oasis live recordings for up to £20 a CD. Keep up the good work, Mike. Mike doesn't actually say what he's doing now for a job.
He's
he sounds like he should be on Dragon's Den.
He's the head of the Silk Road Underground.
Yeah.
Grey market.
It says here, Mike.
Selling guns.
Mike, inventor of the dark web.
Yeah. I've just popped power@sexybattery.com into the hello@lukepeachshow.com email machine. And basically, if you want to become a sexy battery distributor,
yeah.
They've got an email address there. So I'm going to write a little email.
Yeah.
I'm literally going to write subject sexy batteries and then the actual body of the email. Seriously, guys, what the heck is this all about?
See what they say.
All about.
Do you reckon they get a lot of inquiries?
Probably not.
Mike, listen, thanks for your email. Email us again. Let us know what you're doing now. I'll be really disappointed if it's something boring.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So fingers crossed he comes back to us and lets us know. We had loads of emails this week. We've probably run out of time now, though, so we'll do a few more on Monday's show, I'm sure. Back on Monday the 11th for more of this nonsense. Shout out to you all for listening. Thanks for sticking with us through 2020. We hope you do the same throughout 2021, which we also hope will be a far better year for all of us. Pete Donaldson, thank you very much as ever. Say goodbye.
Farewell.
It's a goodbye from me as well. See you Monday.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.